Welcome! I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bulp, bitches.
And welcome back, listeners.
It's just a warning. So last week I posted a picture of a fake ass.
I saw that.
Job offer recruitment email that I got. Then I got another one from somebody else.
Did you even apply for a job?
I haven't, no, but you know, they've been like, you have been selected to apply for this job, this, and it's just like a bunch of random job, you know, random job duties under the title of like quality assurance agent or processing agent or processing person, things like that, that these aren't even things that are on my resume. Like, you didn't find this on my resume to ask me to apply for this job. I've been getting a lot of job recruitments, like recruiters actually emailing me because they found my resume and they're looking for writers or editors for, you know, their companies, not their companies, but the companies they're recruiting for. Cause, you know, as things are opening up, they need people because COVID killed 500,000 people in the United States.
Jeez Louise.
And so they have to fill these positions. And they've, on the news, it's been saying that, you know, they're having a hard time finding people for jobs, especially like in fast food and in restaurants and stuff. So if you guys have kids that are 16, 18 years old, have them apply to the fast food places because they need people. They're also, you know, that comes with more fraudulent emails talking about, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you've been selected to apply for this job. Or if you're interested, you know, please respond by email. Like, that's not how you respond.
Send me your social security and your birthday by email to be considered. Fuck off.
There should be a phone number, number one, because they want to talk to you. They don't want you to email them and say, yeah, I'm interested. They want to talk to you. So they should always have a phone number on there. And they should ask you to send your resume, not ask you to send anything else other than your updated resume or call. The one that I got was from a .info email address. Hmm. It was just like, yeah, no, this is super shady. So watch out for the fake job offers or the job recruitments, guys, because they're out there. And there's probably going to be a lot more coming out because as we're opening up, employers need people. And a lot of times the fraudsters will look on Indeed. And they'll look on Monster and they'll see that these places are actually hiring. And what they'll do is they'll copy and paste that exact job description and then they'll send it to you, but it'll be under, you know, some fake
bullshit.
So just, you know, be mindful. And in it, when in doubt, go to the company's website. If they name the company, then go to the company's website
and apply directly through there. Unless you applied to this job and then they respond to you, that's another thing. But like Brandy said, if it's unsolicited and they're just sending you random emails, their agenda is to get your information, get as much information from you so then they can steal your social, utilize your credit, whatever. That's what they're doing. That's what their goal is. So.
Yeah. And it's usually something that's non-specific, like, oh, a quality assurance. It doesn't say what type of company it is. Like that one was like, oh, you'll be working with UPS, USPS, FedEx, and other shipping. I'm like, they don't have mediaries. They don't have go-betweens fucking quality checking. Well, how was your, you know, package and all that shit? That's not what they do. Companies don't do that. There was this one case, it was like 2011, where they found these people were committing mail fraud. Mm. What they were doing was they were using other people's credit card information, ordering a whole bunch of stuff and having it sent to this one house because they were fraudulently ordering stuff. They had basically, you know, stolen people's identities and were ordering stuff and then they were selling the stuff.
I bet.
And so they were making money via, you know, like basically money laundering. So,
it was like a real, serious operation,
Well, they had all the shit in the house. and they got caught. So just be wary, you know, read the job descriptions very carefully if you're being sent job descriptions. And again, if it's coming from a true recruitment firm, they will have the name of the company, the name of the firm, the phone number, an email address, and probably even a fax number. And you can look up that company and see, you know, if that person actually works there and call the number. Because a lot of times they can put a phone number on there and it might be, you know, fake or whatever. So
yeah. Or if you are a fraudster listening, hi, knock it off. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that update, Brandy. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about this imposter / fraudster named Garrison Kenneth Courtney. Ever heard of him?
No.
Garrison Courtney or Garrison Kenneth Courtney?
No.
Never heard of him. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Let's talk about it.
So, justice.gov, The Daily Beast, Politico, and The Washington Post are where I got my info from. A lot of this comes from The Daily Beast because they have the most in-depth information about it.
I used to work for the company that produced The Daily Beast.
Yeah.
IAC.
Cool. So, Garrison Kenneth Courtney was born in 1975 or 1976 in the Philippines to a father who was a U.S. Air Force officer and his wife. After he retired from the Air Force in 1992, his father worked for the U.S. Border Patrol as an intelligence analyst. He grew up in Great Falls, Montana, and was an ambitious student at Great Falls High School, where he was a student aide. He was a master debater on the debate team. He was in the jazz band. He was on the yearbook staff. He was a member of the drama club. And he was also student body president.
He's a dick. I hate him already.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. He just sounds like he has his hands in a lot of stuff.
Well, this was in high school. His former drama teacher told the Daily Beast that he was affable and easy to like, but he was not sincere. Like, he was always on. Mm-hmm. He was never, you know, he was never open. He was never being himself. He was always
performing.
And he was always that guy. He was a class clown. He was always trying to get over, like, he would be late or he would skip class and always try to figure out how to not get caught. And he would just do shit that was already shady, you know, like student shady shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to try to get out of class today or,
take notes for me.
Shit like that. Yeah. And he joined the Army National Guard during high school to pay for college. And in 1996, he was a student at Montana State University Northern. Then he graduated from the University of Montana in 2000 with a degree in broadcast journalism. His former classmates said that they couldn't tell when he was being honest and when he was being full of shit.
Mm.
Like, he would claim things. So he said he was a model. He told them that he was a third degree black belt in Shaolin Chin Na Kung Fu. And that he was giving his classmates free lessons so that they would have the skills they needed in cases of dangerous situations, stuff like that. He would tell people that, oh yeah, I just booked a bunch of stand-up gigs, stand-up comedy gigs this summer. And then he'd be like, oh, I had to cancel those because the football team asked me to join the team. And then he'd be like, well, yeah, I made the team, but I got cut because I didn't pass my physical. And then I tried to rebook those gigs, but I couldn't.
Why the facade? Like, my head hurts already. I can't stand that, like, to lie to lie.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to get over on people to see if people are going to believe your bullshit.
It's weird. It's like, I know somebody who was like this. And it was in high school. And it was just like, why are you lying?
Like, you don't gotta lie, Craig. You don't gotta lie.
I don't believe anything you're saying, but okay, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. After he graduated from college, he worked as a weatherman in 2000 at KPAX TV in Missoula, Minnesota. And then there, the local newspaper named him the year's best forecaster. Then he moved on to KVAL in Eugene, Oregon. And there he had a contract. They all news people and people in TV have a contract where you cannot change your appearance.
Oh!
You're not supposed to dye your hair. If you have a beard, you need to clear it with the administration. You need to clear it with your bosses before you can shave your beard. If you've had a beard for 3 years and now suddenly you don't have a beard, you need to say, hey guys, I'm thinking of shaving the beard. And you gotta get the okay. You can't freaking get a fucking facelift. Well, you can get a facelift, but you can't, like, you know, do a major transition to your look.
Can't Mickey Rourke yourself.
Right. So, he wasn't supposed to change his appearance.
I didn't know that. I mean, like, I realized this was a thing, like, with actors, but I didn't realize, like, with broadcasters that it's like, hey, this is what you look like. Don't change it.
Yeah, because, you know, their lighting and all of their settings in the recording, that's all, you know, it's all suited to the people on cast. They don't want to have to be fixing shit every day because you come in with green hair one day and red hair the next day or whatever. Like, just stay the same. And if you don't you better let us fucking know, and we better get, you better get it approved.
Got it.
So he did that. He fucking showed up. He, this guy's a redhead.
Ooh.
He came in with white hair.
I don't want to be a ginger on TV.
He came in with white hair, and they sent him home, and they were like, don't come back until you look the same way you did before.
He never came back.
I don't know. I don't know if they fired him or what. Soon after that, he left.
This was in Bend, Oregon?
This was in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eugene.
One of his co-workers told the Daily Beast that he was a bullshit artist, and that he often talked about himself and embellished about his service in the Army. Because he was in the Army National Guard. He was not in the Army. He never saw a fucking servant. He would lie and say that he was in Gulf War, which was a war that happened when we were kids.
How old is this guy? Do we know when he was born?
1975 or 76.
Okay.
So at the time of the Gulf War, I was 10. He would have been 15.
Okay, Jan.
Sure, Jan.
You look just like Ben Stiller's wife. What's her name? Christine something. You look just like her. That face. Christine Taylor. That's her name. Yeah.
Then somehow he managed to finagle his time on air to becoming the public affairs officer for the fucking INS. The U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Services.
Wow.
Which is now ICE. Mm. But at the time, it was INS. His wife also worked for INS, so he got married at some point. His wife worked there with him. And by 2004, they had moved to Washington, where he had started working for Representative Catherine Harris in Florida. She's a Republican. She, you know, whatever. Nobody cares. And she was a he was a communications rep for her. And then in 2005, he quit to go to work for the goddamn DEA.
In 2005?
Yes. He got a job with the freaking DEA.
The Department of
Drug Enforcement.
Enforcement.
It's the Drug Enforcement Agency.
I was thinking ATF. That's for weapons, right?
ATF is for weapons. This is a Drug Enforcement Agency.
Okay.
He was there for 4 years, and in 2009, he left the DEA, and then at some point after that, he worked fucking for TMZ as a producer.
Bye.
Yeah. It's on his resume, though.
He's all over the so is this real? Or are we gonna find out?
He actually worked for TMZ.
But the DEA, he for real worked for the DEA?
Yeah.
He's all this, over the fucking
all
place.
All of his work, so far, except for his lies about the military, all of his work is on his resume. It's all
legitimate.
Documented.
Okay.
Yes. These are actual jobs that he actually held.
Okay.
After TMZ, in 2010, he decided he wanted to strike out on his own. He started a company called Optimized Performance. The company was supposed to be contracting with companies to help them acquire government contracts. So 2 years after he started this company, and around 2012, is when he started fucking around and doing a whole bunch of fuckery and screwing people. Actually screwing companies, not people. So he had five aliases. He created five aliases, maybe even six aliases. He went by Garrison Kenneth Pearson Courtney, which was just adding a name to his name.
Pearson, right?
Mm-hmm. Then he went by Glenn Nelson. He went by Glenn Nielsen, Gary Pearson, Garrison Pearson, and Bear Pearson.
Yeah, Bear.
Mm-hmm. B-A-E-R Pearson.
Like the Tylenol.
Aspirin.
It's aspirin. Bear aspirin.
Yeah. So what he did was he made up a fucking fake backstory. His backstory was that he served in the Army during the Gulf War, which when he was 15, and that he had hundreds of confirmed kills while he was in combat, that he was injured. His lungs were injured, so now he's got this long-term lung damage. He's got a cough. He's got this long-term lung damage from fires that were set to Iraq's oil fields. And so he was inhaling that smoke, and that's why he's got lung damage.
Mm-hmm.
That he was on a spy mission somewhere, and some foreign intelligence service had tried to assassinate him by poisoning him with ricin. That's his backstory. To go with his scam.
Okay.
So this is his backstory now. So he's using this backstory along with his actual fucking background in military fucking and intelligence, because he's got security clearance.
I mean, if you were working for the DEA and TMZ, you must have some clearances.
Well, TMZ. But no, yeah, he's got security clearance. So he has access to all kinds of top secret and confidential information. Mm. Okay. So what he started to do was he would approach a bunch of private companies, but they're all part of the military industrial complex. All of these companies. So they were like defense contractors.
Contractors.
He was trying to, that was the goal of his company that he had started, was to help these companies get government contracts, right? So he would go to these companies and tell them that they needed to hire him and put him on their payroll because he had to create, and they had to help him create commercial cover, which is a cover for his clandestine fucking activities, because he is under deep cover in the CIA. And he needs them to make it look like he has legitimate jobs so that he can look like everyday, Joe Schmo.
But why do I want to hire you to help you do this, just to get this contract?
No, the CIA is going to reimburse you. You're going to pay me and then they're going to give you your money back.
You guys are stupid if you fell for this.
All of these people, the problem. Okay, so let me keep going.
I'm sorry.
Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, really? He fraudulently claimed that the companies will be reimbursed in the future for the payments of his salary, and that they would also get government contracts from the United States for helping him, because he was in this classified program and they would help him. Like, they're helping him would help them, because you're going to get these contracts after,
when I'm done with you, you're going to get these contracts. Yeah. You play ball, we'll play ball. Don't you worry, son.
So he said he was a covert officer in the CIA involved in a classified task force that involved various components of the U.S. intelligence community and the Department of Defense. He told people that the program was supposed to be enhancing the intelligence gathering capabilities of the government. But they don't have a program or a task force that does this. This doesn't exist.
Gobbledygook! Is that what it's called?
Gobbledygook is, yeah, nonsense, basically. So there's a source that was talking to the Daily Beast. He says that he was introduced to Garrison Courtney by a mutual friend that he had at his company. And he hired him as a contractor. He hired him as a contractor to help his company acquire more government contracts.
Okay.
Okay. The thing is, he did know a lot of people in the government. He had contacts in the government because he worked for the DEA. He had contacts in the DEA. He had contacts that were, naval officers. He had contacts that were fucking in the Army, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. He had contacts in high places in the government.
I believe it.
So
he was name dropping, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely he was name dropping, but he would actually have people in meetings, like on phone conversations with this guy. Like it all seemed legit, right? Mm. and he didn't have any reason to think he was lying because he had all these contacts.
Right. And
he knew people. So apparently there was another guy that he would also sometimes include in his scam. And he, would name him on documents, because he would have people signing forged or falsified government documents saying that they were entering into a contract with him. He would also have them sign NDAs so that they could, and they were false NDAs, but he would have them sign NDAs stating that they could not disclose any information about Garrison Kenneth Courtney or whatever name he was going by at that time.
This guy is, I want to hear. Come on. Keep going. I'm frustrated with him.
Right.
We're going to enter this contract. I need you to sign an NDA, so don't mention my name.
Don't mention my name. Don't mention anything about the CIA. Don't mention that I'm working for the CIA, that I'm on this task force, that I'm doing this. Don't mention the fact that you saw me walking down the street getting coffee the other day. Nothing.
Okay, Courtney.
And yeah, so he would include another guy who worked with him at a cybersecurity contractor. The guy basically said that he ruined his life. That Garrison Courtney ruined his life. And he probably did, because if you're probably, he was probably named in the lawsuit.
This is a guy who would do fraud shit with him.
He included him. I don't know why. It didn't go into detail about what their agreement was or what their deal was or whatever. But yes, he would include him. And so his name would be on some papers and stuff.
Oh,
and
he probably got him to sign
in text messages and in, you know, correspondence, things like that. And yeah, so it says to prevent the kind of free communication that could expose the scam, he would create fake non-disclosure agreements. And then he would tell them, you know, okay, well, also, you're going to have immunity from prosecution. So this right here, this paper is signed by the Attorney General, and it says that should you be questioned or, you know, should you be, I don't know, indicted for some fucking reason, or should you be called to testify, or should, you know, anybody come after you, you are immune from prosecution.
I'm really upset.
This is fake.
I know, but I'm shaking my fucking head because I'm sure, like, he's, like, pretty much getting them primed and ready for the fuckery that he's probably going to bring to their door. But don't worry, you've signed this NDA and you've got immunity. So if we kill somebody, don't worry, you good. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's setting some shit up.
Well, the thing is, though, he didn't even really do anything. He just got money from them. Like, he got them to pay him, to put him on the payroll. That's basically what he did. But he was making up fucking fake.
Everything sounds fake.
Yeah.
Was he even making up contracts?
Fake names for these task forces and these, you know, code names. He called one Alpha 214. He called one First Net. And he would be like, okay, you're involved. You're involved in this, in our investigation or whatever,
No, I'm not.
You're now involved in our mission. So you're going to, you know, the government has selected you to be involved.
Nope.
And the people are like, really? Like, he would even, like, okay. He convinced at least two private citizens that they had been selected to participate in these covert programs. So he got a pediatric anesthetist who was also a writer and video producer. And he got a consultant for a private company to pose as a Pentagon official in these meetings that he would have with these companies.
Oh, so he's playing a bunch of people. What is this, True Lies or something?
And yeah, he had one pretending to be a CIA contracting officer. So basically, he was hiring actors to pretend to be government officials with these company owners and, you know, company officers to get him to, so that basically to, you know, to draw them in more and get them to believe his bullshit and his lies.
To keep his story afloat.
Yeah. And they believed it. They thought they were talking to, you know, actual, like, generals and fucking FBI fucking I don't know who and, you know, all that shit. They really thought that they were talking to these people.
I'm really sad for you guys.
And he even convinced government officials as well that they were involved in, that were tapped for CIA fucking missions, Sonny. This is how he operated. He fucking doubled down on his shit, and he'd be like, hey, Commander so-and-so, the CIA needs you to get involved with this mission and just spew a bunch of bullshit at him.
I hope everybody listening to this is shaking their fucking head, too, because that's all I could do is just shake my head.
But the funny thing is, it was like, for what?
Exactly, for what?
You're already on these payrolls. You don't have to keep fucking, like, convoluting your story.
He's just kind of keep getting paid, I guess. And maybe that's where the money's going.
Well, people, like, started asking questions because they were like, when are we going to be reimbursed for your fucking pay? We've been paying you. When are we going to get our money back? Yeah, they were, like, they started, you know, being like, we need our money. Give me money.
I won. Give me my money.
You would. So. So finally, he got a job as a private contractor at the National Institutes of Health Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center, or NITAAC.
Or NITTAC.
NITAAC.
Excuse me.
NITAC. I don't know. He told the officials there that the CIA had specifically chosen that agency to handle contracts for the secret task forces. Due to all of his bullshit, he was actually able to get some of these companies some private contracts with the government.
Well, good. At least he did something.
Yeah, but it was, you know, subterfuge and fucking misdirection. But all the jobs, you know, they were all involved. He told them that they were getting these jobs to help him with his cover. In 2012, the source says he started to get suspicious because after he had asked Garrison Courtney to look at his business proposal for a company that he was starting and needed funding for. A month later, Garrison's like, yeah, I have some great news. I know a guy. I know him from the Freemasons, because of course he's a fucking Freemason, right? And he is looking to invest in a company for some tax purposes. So basically he's looking for a tax shelter to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's name is Curtin Windsor.
Curtin?
Curtin.
Yeah. Windsor.
Curtin Windsor.
Okay.
He goes by Kurt. He is a former ambassador to Costa Rica, and he introduces them. They have a bunch of phone meetings, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'd really like to give you $1 million to invest in your company, because he has like $13 million and he's looking for some tax shelters, and you know, this is going to be one of them. So he's like, yeah, I want to invest $1 million into your company. Then they're having, you know, they're having all these phone meetings, but shit is starting to fall through. There's all these delays, and there's something is always happening where the money's not there. So first he's like, my son passed away. Well, Garrison tells him, he sends him a text message saying, you know, with an obituary that the boy, his son has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, don't worry though, he's still interested. We're still going to go forward with it. And then something happens where his wife is in the hospital with dehydration. So, you know, he can't get the money this day because his wife's been sick. Then the next day, the problem is that the bank is holding the funds because they think there's some embezzlement going on, or there's some misappropriation of funds going on, because Curtin is also a member or on the bank's board. Then something happens where like the wire transfer gets held up. So it's always some fucking excuses.
I don't even want the money. I don't want it. I don't want the fuck your money.
And this is months and months and months of shit. Then Kurt's wife dies. And he's like, you know, his wife passed away, and he gets, so okay. His wife dies. He gets an email that's from curtinwindsor@gmail.com.
Okay.
And it's something to the effect of, I didn't foresee circumstances happening the way that they have. I'm in the process of getting memorial preparations happening in Puerto Rico, because that's where my wife is from. I'm still interested. I still want to, you know, invest in your company. Just, you know, give me some time. 2 weeks, a week goes by. He's like, okay. Something weird is going on. There's something fucking hinky going on here.
Okay.
He gets online, finds the contact information for Curtin Windsor.
Okay.
Oh, and they had also done a credit check on Curt Windsor previous to this, when they started doing like the loan, the documents and everything. And that went through. Like, there was nothing suspicious was found there. Oh, and then the story changes to where Curt's like, now, well, I don't want to give you $1 million to invest. I want to give you a $10 million loan.
Oh my God. Is he going to charge him for due diligence? No, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
So now it's this $10 million loan thing that's supposed to be happening, right? But a week goes by after he gets this email from curtwindsor@gmail.com, and he hears nothing. He gets online, looks up his fucking contact information, calls the number. A woman answers the phone. He's like, hello, is this, what's her name? May.
The one who died?
Uh-huh. Is this you? Oh, D. Her name is D. Is this D? I don't know if her name is D, but whatever. Is this D? Yes, it is. Oh, ma'am, I thought you were, I was told that you had died. And so, you know, he talks to her. Kurt is not there because he's at the fucking Freemasons meeting, but he calls him back. So Kurt calls him and he's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Ah!
I've never heard of you. I don't know what this deal is. I don't know anything about $1 million or $10 million for your company. But I do know Garrison Courtney. He was kicked out of the Freemasons.
For being a fuckface.
For reasons I don't know. But I do know him. So.
That's fucked up. It's like you can meet somebody, right? And they try and take your identity. It's like those motherfuckers who put Facebook accounts up and pretend to be somebody. The fuck does this?
Why do they do that?
Why the fuck are you guys doing this?
It's weird.
Yeah, someone put a Facebook account. She was like, this is not me. I can't with these people.
Yep, so they did it. He did it. He's like, I don't know you, but I know him. And yeah, he got kicked out, but I don't know him like that. this whole shit, this was fake, right? So, not to be discouraged, or not discouraged, but not to be fucked around with, I should say. Mm. The source is like, fuck this shit. Mm. He goes to the police. He lives in Virginia. He goes to the fucking police in Virginia, gives them everything he has. All the emails, all the text messages, all the fucking documents, everything, the fucking whatever paperwork that they had involved, anything that involved Garrison Courtney, he handed over to the police.
Okay.
They do nothing.
Of course not.
They do absolutely nothing.
You gotta call the FBI! Don't call the police!
Well, well, they do nothing. They're like, well, you're not gonna lose any money. So we're not gonna pursue this, right? Then he's online. He goes on LinkedIn a year and a half later, and he sees that now Garrison Courtney is working for another company. And this company is a company in which he has security clearance and he has access to fucking confidential documents and he has access to all kinds of information. And he's like, this guy could do all kinds of fucking shit with this information. He could wreak havoc at these companies. So one of the contacts at one of the companies is a Navy Brigadier General, former Navy Brigadier General, and he's running this company. And this guy is like well respected in, you know, the freaking intelligence and in like the government communities. Mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, you have this guy working for you. He did all of this stuff. And you need to be careful with this guy because he could potentially like fuck your shit up.
Yep.
The guy's like, okay, well, give, you know, send me what you have. A week later, he's like, well, you know, what you have done is you've breached, protocol for, or privacy for, you know, contact, because former employers are not allowed to contact new employers and talk bad about them. They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. They're only allowed to do like a background check, but check the references.
Yeah.
And ask certain questions.
Right. And so he's like, you shouldn't have done that. And you put us both in a bad situation. He's like, you asked me for the information. I gave it to you. Do with it what you will. But of course, nothing happened. He's like, well, we're looking into it. But with the guy that leaked all that information, WikiLeaks guy.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, we just need to make sure that, you know, we're careful about it. And so they do nothing. They do fucking nothing. He gets hired for another company. He goes to them and he's like, hey, you got this guy that's fucking around. He's been doing dirt. What is wrong with you guys? Like, hello.
Stop yelling at the people.
They do nothing. They ignore him.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating when you're witnessing all of this stuff happening and you're raising the red flag as you should.
Yes.
And these people are not doing their own due diligence or even give a fuck.
It's like I feel like there's this thing, especially like within bureaucracies, it's like they don't want to listen.
Nope.
For some reason, even though like he might not even know you from fucking the man in the moon, but they just don't want to hear that they hired somebody or that they have somebody and, you know, in their ranks.
That their choice was wrong.
Yeah. And it's like, you guys, you have somebody who could potentially ruin your whole fucking company or your whole system of working or whatever.
Pull your head out of your ass.
And yes, and do, oh, and then he's like, oh, well, we talked to him and his story is completely different from yours.
No shit.
Yeah, cause he's gonna tell you that he defrauded me. Like, or he tried to defraud me. Cause his thing is like, he wasn't even talking about like all this other, he didn't know about what he was doing with these other companies. He just knew that he was being screwed with this guy trying to, basically lying about like financing over a company that hadn't even been started yet. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know about all the other shit. Like the, well, I'm working for this company, and this company on their payroll for commercial cover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was just telling his story. Meanwhile, there's other stories out there that are the same story. And nobody, you know, and these are fucking defense companies and contractors, security companies that are hiring him. So yeah, it's dangerous to have a guy like this in your fucking midst.
Hello everyone, my name is Nicholas Haskins, host of the 5th annual live stream for The Cure. This year, podcast partners and content creators from all over the world will join me from May 19th to the 23rd to try to raise $15,000 for the Cancer Research Institute. Each year, I am reminded time and again of the incredible power and compassion of the indie creators, audiences, and podcasters who set aside their time, energy, and money to make this event a success. I am overwhelmed again this year with an outpouring of support and passion from others who are dedicated to the goal of a future immune to cancer. I wanted to take a moment while you're listening to this show and say thank you. Thank you, and I'm so eternally grateful for you. I like to say together, we can make a difference. And because of you, we have. From the bottom of my heart and from the entire team that makes Livestream for the Cure possible, thank you. To learn more about this year's event, please visit livestreamforthecure.com.
He emailed the Pentagon's Inspector General.
Wow.
To flag, basically trying to get, let him know you have this guy here who has security clearance and he's fucking around and he's doing this shady shit. But nope, nobody wanted to hear about it.
Is that him?
This is him.
No wonder he got a job. He doesn't look like a liar. He just looks like a corn-fed white boy. With a nice smile.
He has a big old toothy grin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very trusting.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a liar!
He's a big fat fucking liar.
Make sure we use that picture.
Snowden. That's his name. Edward Snowden. So yeah, he's looking at the age of Snowden. We have to be careful. Right? Whatever. So, this guy's like, nobody's doing anything. So he fucking puts a website up and it's like, beware of Garrison Courtney. He has done this, 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 and this. That's up there.
Kind of like love fraud. Yeah. Check out our love fraud episode. It's fire.
Yep. Okay. So what brought him down basically was that he tried to fuck around another company. A company called Cape First. Again, doing his thing, talking about, oh yeah, you're going to have all these government contracts and there's going to be this money and all this stuff, right? He created a contract, a fake contract. He made a contract and made it look like it was from the Pentagon.
Wow. That's ballsy.
Yeah. And it was signed at Arlington offices of Riverside Research, right? Which is a nonprofit government contractor / think tank. And he didn't give the executives that, that he was doing a contract with, he didn't give them a copy of it because he said it was, you don't have clearance. Have clearance. Even though you're signing it, you don't get a copy of it. And so, no.
Oh, you want a copy of this document you signed? You don't have H1N1 clearance. Get out of here.
So they had wired the money. Cape First, a bank, had wired the money into an escrow account that was maintained by an attorney that Courtney had hired. Mm-hmm. Because Blue Canopy, which is the company that the source had worked for, they were supposed to be being reimbursed by the government CIA, for his work. Right? Yeah. So he had made it look like, he did a bunch of wire transfers to make it look like the company, Blue Canopy, had been paid by the government, which it had not.
So he's doing a bunch of transfers.
Because it was $2.5 million to Blue Canopy, this company.
That's how much he owed them?
That's how much they were owed. Yes.
Wow.
And so he was like,
Oh, so he's doing a bunch of transfers to them to make them think that it's the government paying them back.
Right.
But the money who knows where this money has come from? Some other people he fucked over, I'm sure.
And where it went. Right.
Okay. It's all coming together now, okay? I just don't get it. Why all this effort? If you can find, it seems like he can land a job. It seems like he can, he's a capable person.
Mm-hmm.
So why the facade? Maybe it stems back from being in high school and wanting to lie about stuff.
Well, okay. So during the time that he was doing all this shit, he got divorced. Him and his wife, they had a child.
Okay.
So he had $2,500 in fucking a month of
child support, alimony, spousal support.
Of alimony or child support. He owed, I'll get into it.
$2,500
a month
isn't that much.
No, that wasn't it. He had a mortgage. He had car payments. He had bills, credit card payments. Then the divorce, the child support, and I think there was alimony. Mm-hmm.
Can you pay my bills? You pay my telephone bills? Pay my automobile?
He couldn't pay shit.
I don't think you do.
I was like, he just owed a bunch of money to a bunch of people.
So he was like, let me fuck over these other people so I could pay these bills. Dick. Again, I wish I had the fraud in me. I really do.
It's too much. Honestly, I don't again. And then you always have to be on your toes. That I would have a fucking stroke or a heart attack. I couldn't do it.
I'd be shitting myself all the time. Exactly. I would have the bubble guts all the time.
Here it was. Okay. He had defaulted on his mortgage and his car loan. He was evicted from his house for not paying rent.
Oh, shit.
In March 2014, he filed for bankruptcy. He owed $697,157 to creditors. He had a $25,000 divorce settlement, $2,500 a month of child support, of which $35,000 or $36,000 of it was in arrears, and he had a fucking $11,000 IRS bill.
Damn, he ain't paying his taxes.
And he had a $120 civil judgment for a breach of contract, and hundreds of thousands more dollars in medical bills, car loans, student loans, business loans, lawyers fees, and credit card debt.
He don't know how to manage his money.
I think he was just buying stuff. He was like, I feel like what he was doing was he was getting money because if he's got all these companies that hired him, right? Because he's a fake spy.
Yeah.
He's got all these companies to hire him and he's getting all of this money. At some point, he was probably spending more money than he was getting.
Yeah, definitely. With credit cards, obviously. But don't they, like, if you guys are doing your background checks, that's one thing they check is credit, like for particular places of employment. They check your credit to see what the fuck you're up to. And like, if
in order to get security clearance, you have to, your credit has to be, you know, a certain number. You can't, like, they don't let people with bad credit get security clearance.
Well, why they let this dude do what he do?
This was after, like, this was in 2014.
Oh.
So who knows?
Oh, he got the clearance and then started acting a fool.
I guess in July 2014, what's his face? Courtney, he had all of his debts cleared by a court.
Oh, cause he filed for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, that's nice.
Must be nice. It sucks for the creditors.
Mm-hmm. He filed for fucking bankruptcy, all this shit. That's when the website went up. And he, you know, was still able to fucking get companies to work with him. Even though there was this website out here saying, hey, look at this guy.
Well, how are they going to get to the website, first of all?
Well, he was using it to his advantage. Like, because you can put in somebody's name and anything that has their name on it online will pop up. His name was on that website.
Yeah.
Written, I'm sure, multiple times for fucking, for SEO. Okay. So he was using it to his advantage saying, hey, you know, this guy's trying to smear me because I guess a contract went bad or whatever. I don't know what he was actually saying, but he was using it to his advantage saying, well, yeah, I can get you these contracts, you know, and apparently this guy's contract maybe didn't work out the way he wanted it to. So now he's trying to come after me by smearing my name. But obviously, he played it up. And, you know, it's a smear campaign. It's a smear campaign.
It's a witch hunt. Guess what? If anyone has a website and someone is like, hey, this person's a POS because they did this, that, take it into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's effort to maintain a website and update it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway. So, the whole blue canopy thing blew up in his face. That's when the government was like, what the fuck is going on? Because this is a government contractor.
Okay.
Blue canopy is. So the fucking government decides finally to open an investigation and they brought in the source, the guy who originally narked on him and he was like, hey, y'all ain't doing shit. And it took years for this guy to get, because they opened the case, I guess, in 2020. Meanwhile, he had gone to them.
2020?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He had gone to them in what, was it 2024?
2015?
I mean, 2014.
2024, the future.
In 2014, he went to, you know, he didn't go to the FBI, but he went to the police.
And he went to the Pentagon too, right?
Yeah. But not to the Pentagon, just to one guy at the Pentagon.
Same difference.
Basically saying this guy has security clearance.
Yeah.
But he didn't, you know, again, they were just like, whatever, meh.
No skin off my balls.
Yeah, we're not going to worry about it. And so the FBI brought him in and they interviewed him for hours and he gave them everything that he had, all the documents that he had with him, the contracts, I guess, that they had signed, all the fucking text messages and emails. He sent all of it gave it all to the FBI. It still took time. Actually, no, it wasn't in 2020 when they opened the case because it took a bunch of time for them to get to where he got arrested. And he kept asking, what about, you know, what's going on? Like, he would call them, like, every week. And they were like, just watch the news. So one day, he's watching the news on June 11th, 2020. And fucking Garrison Courtney had been arrested and charged with one motherfucking count of fucking wire fraud. And he pleaded guilty in federal court. They gave him fucking $25,000 bond and put him on house arrest.
He's on house arrest?
That, yeah, this was before the trial. They gave him a trial date of October 28th, 2020.
Okay.
But while he was on, you know, out on bond, he was still trying to do his bullshit.
Like Billy McFarland?
Yeah. He was still trying to, but yeah. So he kept doing his stupid shit. He told the court that he was working for Huntington Ingalls Industries, which was is the country's largest military ship builder in Tampa, fucking Florida. This was, in fact, true. But he left out that he was employed under the alias Bayer Pearson.
Oh, so he's being employed under different names.
Yes.
Digger.
And he gave them, you know, that whole bullshit about, oh, yeah, I'm in the CIA. I'm under deep cover. You need to put me on your fucking payroll. Hmm. All that stuff. So he kept doing this shit. And they were like, he has a fucking... he has a bunch of fake, you know, well, he was carrying around fake NDAs for people to fucking sign. And he was telling the company that, oh, you know, you guys, you can't tell anybody. You can't mention my name. You can't do this. You can't do that. All the same stuff that he was doing to the other companies. Mm-hmm. The feds went to the prosecutors went to the company about it. He resigned before they could fire him.
Mr. Courtney.
Then this motherfucker had the balls. So he had the balls to get some of his government contacts involved.
Quote, unquote, government contacts.
Involved. He had one person from the FBI harassing one of the witnesses, saying that if you continue to cooperate with this investigation, you will be prosecuted. Threatening that witnesses that they would go to jail if they continued helping the prosecution. Harassing people, basically witness intimidation.
Mm-mm, that's not legal, y'all. That's not legal.
It's not. But guess what? When he finally got fucking went to court, he got sentenced to 7 years. 7 years. He defrauded $4.4 million from all of these companies. Total.
Total?
Total. And all he got was 7 years. So he's in prison right now, but he'll be out in probably 5 years because he got seven. And they never do their whole fucking sentence.
They sure don't. And then they come out with a new fucking thing, too.
Well, he doesn't have security clearance anymore, so I don't know. I don't know how many of those government contacts that he has will actually talk to him now. But he hires people to fucking pretend to be government, you know, agents. So who fucking knows?
That's what they do. That's their grip. They hire people, or they just... Okay, so he's in jail.
He's in prison.
7 years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. What a dick.
So, I mean, I honestly, these are all military industrial complex fucking, you know, companies anyway. So I really don't give a shit if they lose money because they're fucking part of the fucking problem. But at the same time, this guy is a total dick. He's a bag of dicks and he deserves to be in prison.
With your bag of dicks. Enjoy that. Wow.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. I mean, he was fucking ballsy. But again, he had the contacts and he had the experience in the government to be able to pull this off. Because some random fucking jamoke off the street is not going to be able to just go up to fucking, like, Bayer Industries and be like, hey, hire me. I'm under CIA. I'm under deep cover in the CIA. And I need you to put me on your payroll so you can pretend to, so you can, you know, provide me with commercial cover.
Yeah, that's... Anyway, this motherfucker. It's always somebody, y'all. It's always somebody. That person at work that you question them and look at them sideways, start Googling them. Start Googling your coworkers. See what kind of fuckery. Man, that's crazy. Brandy, do you have a thumbs up for the week? Or you want to tell me about your week?
I really... don't remember what happened this week. Last on Sunday was Mother's Day. So happy belated Mother's Day to all you mommies out there.
Yeah,
and
mommies.
Single daddies out there who have to be mommies too. My son got me bath salts, lavender bath salts. So I think I'm going to have to put that to some use.
Nice.
And that's really all I remember from this week. I watched the third season of Shrill. I feel like... that show, okay, so that show, you know, it's about a girl. It's Abby, what's her name? The girl from SNL, the chubby one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I forgot her name already. Basically, it's about her trying to navigate, like, the dating world and, like, being, she's a journalist and she works for a newspaper. And so she's trying to, you know, they have her pigeonholed into a bubble of writing about fat people and fat, like, fat articles about being fat and mm-hmm. the fat person experience or whatever. And she's like, I don't want to do fat stuff anymore. So she basically, in this season, she steals an art. She doesn't steal it, but she's like, I want to write that. And it's this piece about these fucking separatists. These separatists that are racists, basically. You know, they're white nationalists. They're racists. And she does this interview with them. She goes to their compound, shoots guns with them. And then the readers are like, we hate you. Because she made them seem like, you know.
Normal?
Yeah. Like normal, everyday, rando people, even though they're racists and they, you know, think black people. The husband of the guy, he's in prison. And so she goes and he says something like, black people had more freedoms under slavery than they do now.
What?
Yeah. And so, like, you know, the readers of the newspaper hate her now because she wrote this article. And she's like, can we take it down? And they're like, no, we can't take it down. We're a newspaper. We can't do that. We don't do that.
You can put a printer attraction, but we can't take it down.
A.D. Bryant, that's her. What is her? Annie. Her name is Annie on the show.
Okay. A.D. Bryant.
Yeah. And, you know, and then so she's doing that. And meanwhile, she's trying to date. And, like, she's so awkward with dating. I'm like, why is she... It was predictable just because she, like, basically screwed herself out of a relationship at the end of the season by being weird, by doing what crazy women do and go and stalking the ex of the girlfriend.
Or
I'm
not interested in your ex. I don't even want to know if you had an ex. Because you don't have an ex, you have me.
Exactly, right? Well, if you're going to watch it, watch it. I mean, it's a good show, but I'm like, she's in her 20s, so this shit... And I'm just like, God damn it. Like, you were making all the wrong moves and you're doing all the wrong things and you just need to fucking, like, chill. What's your thumbs up for the week? Oh, I didn't give a thumbs up.
You got bath salts.
My thumbs up for the week. bath salts. She's on bath salts, y'all.
You got bath salts.
I'm going to read this book. So that's my thumbs up, is I'm going to read this book.
Okay.
Before the season, what the fuck, season like 82 of Real Housewives of Orange County.
The Pretty Mess by Erica Jane.
What's your thumbs up?
I started watching season 4 of Handmaid's Tale. Have you started watching it?
Oh, no, I have not.
Oh, Hulu, baby, y'all, is going down again. I won't say anything. It's good. There's a bunch of stuff going on, obviously. I think this is the final season.
Yeah.
Because I could tell because I felt like June... Like, she's just being really tough. Like, you know, she, at the end of last season...
She got shot.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning, and they just pick up right where they left off.
Like, carrying
she's
her
bleeding and, like, having to recover. And she comes back, and she's just, like, trying to be the badass boss again. You know, running shit. And I just...
The rebels.
Yeah. And when I first started watching the show, I was like, they don't put no makeup on them whatsoever. There's this new character. It's this little girl and she's like maybe like 12 or 13 or something. And she's a bitch. And she's a commander's wife.
A 12-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
And like we're introduced to her because they bring June to her house. Because her husband's, like, old and senile, but he's a fucking asshole, apparently.
Okay.
And, like, she's been abused and shit has happened to her. So she's like, are we going to kill the men? I want to kill them. Why are you... Like, she's interesting. Because I was like, how are they going to play this out with her? So I watched the first episode of the season. I think there's only, like, 4 episodes.
Maybe she's, like, 14.
Maybe, but she's very young. She's out there smoking cigarettes. It's interesting. I just want to really see how this plays out. Oh, Okay, so, of course, I watched The Circle, and it was so good. I watched the finale, and I'm really happy the way it played out.
Oh, it's already over?
Yes. Okay. But I started watching The Circle Brazil, and I really had to read the subtitles. It's kind of annoying, but there's this one fucker on there. He's like, I'm going to pretend to be a dietitian, but he's saying he's a doctor. But you're a dietitians aren't doctors.
No. Unless they are doctors who actually got a certificate as, you know, a dietitian.
Exactly. But he's like, I'm a doctor because doctors, you know, he says that in real life, he's lied to women and said he's a doctor. Mm. He's 20 years old. He's on the show. He says he's like 30. So it's a bunch of fucking liars. And I'm just like, ugh.
Is everybody a liar on there?
He is. He is. Like, everyone else is like, I'm playing this character because, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he does that shit in real life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like you. I couldn't get past the first episode of the Circle of Brazil. There's this one chick on there. She's like, oh, when you guys, every time you guys hate on me, my booty gets bigger. She's a thick girl. She's thicky thick, right?
My booty gets bigger.
But she's feeling herself and she got curves. But she was like, you know, the more you hate me or the more you love me, the bigger my butt gets. I was like, y'all are ridiculous. I can't watch this shit. This is ridiculous. But I'm really happy to binge on Handmaid's Tale. I want to see how that's going to play out. Like you said, it's Mother's Day. My daughter made me breakfast in bed.
Aww.
She brought me scrambled eggs. They were so salty. I was like, are you trying to kill me? But she made me coffee.
Did she taste them before?
I was like, taste these eggs. She's like, yeah, they are kind of salty.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yeah, you're trying to kill me.
But she said, taste it before you serve it to someone.
But it was really sweet of her, and I super appreciate it. She made me coffee and brought me a muffin, and it was nice. I slept in. I woke up, like, at 6, and I was like, fuck this. I'm going back to sleep, and yeah. Bryn slept in her bed all night. So I was like, I slept till 8 o'clock this morning.
Oh, okay. I woke up at 5:30, and I stayed up till, like, 6:30, and then I went back to sleep.
I got up, went pee, got back in bed, and went to sleep. But, I mean, other than that, guys, thanks for being here. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you come back because we really love you. And make sure you join us next Friday, May 21st, on Twitch for Live Stream for the Cure. You can visit their website, livestreamforthecure.com. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleece.
And this was Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bolt Bitches.